Good morning. You all made it through the rain to get here. Glad to have you here this morning as we worship at the First Presbyterian Church of Westerville. If you are visiting with us this morning, let me do some introductions. I'm the Reverend Mark Gowan, and I will be leading worship this morning. Heather Hicks will be doing the Especially for Children, and Kim Wise will be our liturgist this morning. And Lynn Meyer, our organist, will be providing the music. If you're visiting with us in the sanctuary, I invite you to fill out a welcome card and leave it in the offering plates, which are located at the back here of the front part of the sanctuary or up in the balcony. If you are visiting with us from your home today, I invite you to leave a message on Facebook. And if you want to know more about this congregation, you can call the church office at 614-882-3155. For those who are here in the sanctuary this morning, we are suggesting that you follow the guidelines set by the CDC. Masks are no longer required, but should you choose to wear a mask, we certainly support and respect that choice. Today is a communion Sunday, and we will be continuing to use the communion kits that we used last month. You should have picked one up when you came into the sanctuary, but if you did not, I'm going to invite you to raise your hand, and our communion organizers will get you one of these little cups that are there. When the communion portion of the service happens, you will peel off the top tab to expose the wafer, and then you'll peel off a second tab to open the juice. So you might want to look at those cups to make sure you see what's going on there. If you are at home, you're invited to prepare the juice and a piece of bread for communion later in the service. Following the service today, we will hold a meeting of the congregation for the purpose of approving the pastor's terms of call. Members are asked to stay and visitors are welcome to stay. After the meeting, you are all invited to our coffee and fellowship time in the gathering area before you head back outside, and maybe the rain will have stopped by then. We do have a few announcements this morning to share. The flowers this morning are given by Debbie Kneeler Bice in memory of her parents, Janet and P.L. Kneeler. The Westerville Habitat Partnership is holding another wall build this summer. There is a donation box that was built by Marion Ackerman out in the gathering area. It looks like a house. It's got a slot in it to put your donations in there, or money or a check, and that will help finance the wall build. That's particularly important this year since the Habitat Partnership could not do the Tapestry of the Town, which is their major July fundraiser. So any help you can give will help buy supplies for the wall build, which will happen on Saturday, August 21st, and you're welcome to help with that as well. You can talk to John Cameron following the service. He will have more information if you need it. As you notice, the construction on the parking lot is nearly finished, and we can park in the parking lot in the marked off spaces. There is still more work to be done, and so if you come here during the week, do be careful because there are construction vehicles and other activities going on. The worship committee is seeking volunteers for communion preparation and setup. Since the church is now fully open after the pandemic shutdown, we hope to return to the traditional way that we celebrate communion by passing the bread plates and the cups with juice. If you would like to help with this ministry of preparing communion, please talk to me or to Linda Bacchus after the service. We received some exciting news this week. We finally have a refugee family to help resettle in Columbus. Tedessa Getu and Hayat Youssef and Hayat's son Nesri, if I'm pronouncing all those right, who's at age of 10, are arriving on the airport from Ethiopia on Tuesday evening this week. A small group from our reaching out team will be there to meet them, along with their case manager from the Community Refugee and Immigration Services, also known as CRIS. The family is originally from war-torn Eritrea, but has been living in a refugee camp for 10 years. So that is the only life that Nesri knows. They'll be living in an Airbnb for a week or two until Chris finds them permanent housing. The family will also be under COVID quarantine for 10 days, so we won't have much contact with them for a while. Our team will be stocking their refrigerator and providing a meal from an Ethiopian restaurant on Tuesday night. In time, we will probably need more items for our welcome kit and all kinds of other help. However, this is a busy vacation time, so staying organized will be a challenge. And if you have not participated on our team so far but would like to be involved, please contact me or Linda Barr, and we will get back to you as soon as we can. This is really exciting, folks. We have waited a year and a half. We were prepped right before COVID hit to help resettle a refugee family, and it was all put on hold for a year and a half. So we are excited to be able to enter into this ministry partnership. Finally, when I spoke of everyone going on vacation, that includes me. I'll be on vacation Monday through Thursday this week, but I'll be back in time to lead worship next Sunday. And now let us begin our worship service this morning with the music of the prelude.
Please join me in the call to worship. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. We ponder your steadfast love, O God, in the midst of your temple. Let Mount Zion be glad. Let the towns of Judah rejoice. Tell the next generation that this is God, our God forever and ever. He will be our guide forever. Let us worship God. Join me in the prayer of approach. All glory and praise are yours, God of truth, light of our hearts, for you guide your people in the ways of holiness. Help us and our fellow Christian brothers and sisters to seek you through mutual love and worship, and to be servants of your Son as examples that others may follow. Enlighten men and women to see the beauty of the Christian life. Strengthen them in your service so that the work you have begun in them may be brought to fulfillment. Amen.
Going to invite all of our young friends and the young people inside each and every one of us who have a little bit more age to us to come and be a part of worship also this morning. I see we have at least one child in worship with us this morning. We have several youth with us today, which is so wonderful. Welcome to all of you. I wanted to talk a little bit because I know our scripture deals with healing this morning. And I'll bet all of you at one point in time have been sick. So sick that you couldn't get out of bed, your tummy hurt, or maybe your whole body hurt. But I'll bet you could still move around. It was just uncomfortable. But it was kind of down because you couldn't go play outside. You couldn't go and play a video game. You couldn't love on your mom and dad because they didn't want to get sick, but they'd love on you as best they could, right? We've all been that sick when we wanted so much to do something. Well, I saw something a couple weeks ago, and I started doing some research on a young man who was a little older than our children. He was actually in college, so he'd gone all the way up through high school and was in his first year of college, and he was a football player. Do you like to play football or play with balls? Andrew, yeah, good. Well, we all like to play, right? We all like to have things that we do. Well, he got hurt really bad. He got so hurt that they had to take him to the hospital. And he could not move. He couldn't move his hands. He couldn't move his feet or his legs. He was what they call paralyzed. And he kept wondering, what am I going to do? I had all of these dreams, all these hopes, all these things I wanted to do. And He was really concerned about what God had in plan for his life because he was a Christian. And he was so nervous about what this was going to mean for the rest of his life. Was he ever going to be able to walk again? Was he ever going to be able to move his hands again? And you know, they told him, the doctors told him, he was in great care with doctors. They said, you know, you have a very small chance that you will walk again. You're probably not ever going to be able to move your body ever again. That would be scary, huh? Really scary. Well, he decided that he was going to work so hard and try and do his physical therapy and do everything that he needed to do to help get his body to a point where he could move it again. And you know what? He started getting movement in his fingers and in his shoulders. Those are things they never thought he would be able to do again. And he was still in the hospital. Can you believe it? This was back like maybe September. In November, that's right around Thanksgiving time. In Thanksgiving time, he started wiggling his toes. How neat is that? He was told he might never be able to move again, and yet he could wiggle his toes. And what I haven't told you is that his parents set up a page where people could write to him and pray for him and encourage him. And you know, God's kind of like that, isn't he? He's always with us, even when we're not sure, even when our bodies hurt or when we can't move, even when we think hope is lost, God is always there. And we can pray to God and we can have God lifted up to us in Scripture and through other friends. And if the congregation or even our friends at home or Andrew, if you would like to see this gentleman, he's actually now a very big public speaker. And he goes around sharing his faith about he and his wife and his children. And I actually posted a video of him earlier this week. You may have seen it on our Facebook page. So if you can't find anything else on him, his name is Chris Norton. But here's a man who couldn't move. He couldn't walk. But he knew that God was going to help him get through any challenge he might face. Let's go to God in prayer. Almighty and loving God, we thank you so much for these people who defy the odds. But we know, oh God, that they only defy the odds because you are there guiding and directing them and showing them the way. Please be that for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our first reading this morning comes from Psalm 121, so listen for the word of God. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my hope come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. The word of the Lord. Our second reading comes from Luke 5, verses 12 through 16. Again, listen for the word of God. Once, when he was in one of the cities, there was a man covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he bowed with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean." Then Jesus stretched out his hand, touched him, and said, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him, and he ordered him to tell no one. "Go," he said, "and show yourself to the priest. And as Moses commanded, make an offering for your cleansing, for a testimony for them." But now, more than ever, the word about Jesus spread abroad. Many crowds would gather to hear him and to be cured of their diseases. but he would withdraw to deserted places and pray. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Heather and Kim. Let us pray. O Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight. Amen. Presbyterian writer Kathleen Norris begins her best-selling book, Dakota, with these words. The high plains, the beginning of the desert west, often act as a crucible for those who inhabit them. Like Jacob's angel, the region requires you to wrestle with it before it bestows a blessing. This can mean driving through a snowstorm on icy roads, wondering whether you'll have to pull over and spend the night in your car, only to emerge under tag ends of clouds into a clear sky, blazing with stars. Suddenly, you know what you're seeing. The Earth has turned to face the center of the galaxy, and many more stars are visible than the ones we usually see on our wing of the spiral. Or a vivid double rainbow marches to the east, following the wild summer storm that nearly blew you off the road. The storm sky is gunmetal gray, but to the west, the sky is peach, streaked with crimson. The land and the sky of the west often fill what Thoreau termed our need to witness our limits transgressed. Nature in Dakota can indeed be an experience of the holy. So wrote Kathleen Norris. Nature can indeed be an experience of the holy. Jesus knew as much, for as this passage from Luke tells us, that after Jesus performed his miracle, the crowds would gather upon him and push upon him, and he needed renewal. And so Jesus would often withdraw to a deserted place to pray. Now we know that we can pray anywhere. I know that I can find God anywhere, but I find it particularly striking that Jesus, when he needed to pray, to talk with God, to find some spiritual renewal, went off into the wilderness to pray. There is something in nature, in the wild beauty of such places, that somehow gives us a connection with God, a connection that seems more difficult to attain in our more civilized settings. Perhaps that is what E.B. Browning wrote about nature as earth crammed with heaven and every common bush alive with God. When we can, our family goes up to Michigan to spend some time relaxing on the shores of Lake Michigan, like we were able to do a couple weeks ago. We go up there certainly to enjoy each other's company and, when possible, to see old friends. There is, of course, much to do up there in vacation land. But part of the reason we go is for the sheer beauty and power of Lake Michigan, which is brought to the forefront each evening when we will redirect our activities so that we can watch the sun slowly slip into the waters of the lake. It is a moment that words cannot possibly describe. And as often as not, these moments are met with an awestruck silence. All we can do is appreciate God's little gift at the end of the day. Many of us, if not all of us, have a place of particular beauty that is special to each of us. Some trek to a favorite lake or a hilltop to enjoy the majesty of God, while others find just as much majesty in the tiny petals of a garden flower. Maybe it is a trail in the woods, or a bench in a nearby park. Maybe we have to travel across the continent to find that special place of beauty, or maybe you just go out in your own backyard. Wherever these places are, they all hold a special attraction. For it is in these places that we can appreciate God and the beauty of God's creation. As Browning said, it is in these beautiful places that we sense God's presence in every bush and we catch a glimpse of heaven on earth. But there is something more to Jesus' retreat into the wilderness than just beauty. Something that probes even deeper at our spiritual roots. Jesus began his ministry by going into the wilderness, not just to pray, but to spend the first 40 days of his ministry living in the wild. And we must remember that in ancient Israel, the wild was truly wild. When Jesus headed into the wilderness, he wasn't leaving the city to travel through the local farmland. No. He was leaving from the very edge of human settlement to go into the uninhabitable areas beyond the human borders. There were no pre-made shelters, no electrical hookups, no roads to travel, no vending machines along the way. He went with very little and came back with even less. And yet it was in this wild place where he was able to face his temptations and find the spiritual center to his ministry. I can imagine Jesus praying the psalm that Heather read this morning. From where will my help come? It comes from God who made heaven and earth. He could have begun his ministry in any other way. But he chose to begin his ministry in the wilderness to test himself and his understanding of his calling. And that perhaps is why he continued to seek out the wilderness as a place to pray and to find renewal. Perhaps to him, the wilderness was a place of reconnection to the past engagement with God and allowed him to reconnect. As Kathleen Norris describes the West, it is a place where one must wrestle before blessings are bestowed. Maybe Jesus from time to time needed to re-wrestle with his sense of calling. It was just this sense of wrestling in the wilderness that led the early monks and the hermits to leave civilization and to live in the harshest places, the desert sands or the mountain cliffs. When you think about it, it was crazy. And they were often thought of as insane, but there was method in this madness. I'm sure people asked, why go off into the wilderness to find God when God was right there, especially in the cathedrals and the churches? But wasn't it better to find God in those places and in the midst of the communities in faith? And yet the monks did not go into the wilderness to find God, but rather to lose themselves. Life, even for a highly religious person like a monk, is full of distractions. There is so much to do, so much to savor, so much to know, that the retreat to the wilderness became a necessary step to refine their focus on God. It was only in the harshest environments, where each day was a struggle for life, that they could learn what it meant to be truly dependent on God. Only when one lives with the barest necessities can one learn what is truly necessary. It was in this harsh environment that a monk could remove the barriers that prevented him from seeing God everywhere else. And perhaps we need to seek the wild in our experiences of the wilderness as well. Perhaps we need to find a place where we are forced to do with less so that we can have more room for God. And yet, where do we find such wilderness places for us? It's not like most of us are going to leave our homes, our jobs, and our communities to head out into what little wilderness is left in the world. How do we follow Jesus' lead and withdraw to a wild place to pray? Christian author Belden Lane explored this very question in his book, Solace of Fierce Landscapes. In this book, Lane explored the history and the motivations of the desert monks of the early church. But he did it while he was caring for his own mother who was dying of cancer. And he managed to connect his research with his life in a very profound way. The monks he studied discovered God in the wilderness of nature, and he discovered God in the wilderness of hospital rooms and nursing homes. For like the monks, he learned through the ordeal of his mother to trust God in ways that he could never have done before. In this sort of wilderness is where many of us find ourselves today. We have health problems or financial problems or parenting problems or any of a dozen other problems that lie beyond our ability to control, and they lie at the edge of our ability to cope. It is in these wilderness places that we are forced by circumstance to remove our self-dependence and become dependent on God alone. And this becomes every bit a test for us, as it comes to us neither naturally nor easily. We want to hold on to something tangible, but in the wilderness, we can't. We can only hold on to God. So where does that renewal come from when we are in such places? For Jesus, it came when the ordeal had been faced and the temptations conquered. For the monks, it came when they learned to depend on God. But what about for us? When does the peace come? When does the renewal come? Perhaps it comes, as Kathleen Norris describes, when we have wrestled with the wilderness and we are blessed then with the dazzle of a rainbow. The problem for us is that while Jesus chose to go into the wilderness, we, on the other hand, usually don't have such a choice. Our wilderness comes up in the middle of the night and surrounds us, and suddenly we are trapped in a place we don't know and we don't want to be. Like the storms of the Dakotas, we get caught unawares by tragic news or by broken promises. And in this fierce landscape, we are forced into, and to tell the truth, most of us don't like it. And we would just as soon leave, but often we can't. And since we can't escape such wilderness, we must find a way to live in them. And it is in these moments, perhaps, that we can recognize the wilderness for what it is, a place where we can find God. And we might pray that psalm, I lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence will my help come? But maybe it'd be better said that these places, these wildernesses of life, are places where God finds us. And in that will come a peace that will make any wilderness a place of profound beauty. Amen. Let us take a moment and offer our personal prayers to God, and then I'll lead in our common prayers. Let us pray. O Lord, hear our prayers. Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our paths. Your word teaches us wisdom and fills us with newness of life. As we come to you today, we bring our needs to you. Help us to lay down all our problems at your feet. Help us to lay down all our tangled thoughts and restless emotions. Lord, we are seeking your peace and your patience. We want to learn to wait patiently for you to bring your answers to our prayers. We want to cooperate with you, your plans for us. Thank you for assuring us that your plans for us are good. As we wait on you, we will continue to turn to your word for comfort and direction. Your word steadies us. Your word brings us truth. Your word gives us strength. Thank you for your word and open its meaning to us. As we wait upon you, we offer our prayers on behalf of those whom we've mentioned this morning, the sick and the injured and the recovering, the infirm, those who are approaching death and those who care for them, those who are grieving loss and have nowhere to turn. We pray for those who are hungry and who are homeless. We pray for the young and the impressionable. We pray for those who have lost their way and need direction. To those facing difficult decisions and need guidance, we pray for those who need to confess their sins and those who are needing to grant forgiveness. O Lord God, we pray for all your children, and we lift up our prayers of hope. Give us patience to wait for your answers. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, and with the direction of the Holy Spirit, we offer these prayers to you, O Creator God. Amen. Friends, we are gathered at this table at the Lord's invitation. For the Lord is the host of this table, and we are all guests. It is at this table that we will find our comfort and our reassurance. Come, all of you who are heavy burdened, and find your rest here. Join me in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God. Let us pray. O Almighty God, you who created the world and placed all of the animals in it, and then created us and placed it in your good world as well, we turn to you and offer praise. O Lord God, you formed us into a people and made covenant with us that we would be your people and you would be our God. And yet, throughout the ages, your people have turned away from you, seeking other gods, seeking selfish fulfillment. But you have never let go of us. You sent your prophets to remind us of the ways that you want us to live. Finally, you sent your Son, who lived amongst us, teaching and showing us how we might live in the ways that you would want us to live. It was your Son who, in obedience to you, faced the cross, and there, having met his death, he was raised again by you. And in this miracle, O Lord, creation was restored. We received the mercy of your grace. And while we still don't understand it, O Lord, we lift it up and praise you for it, forever giving you thanks for these blessings. Oh Lord God, as we gather at this table, we are reminded that it was Jesus who invited us to this table originally. And at his Last Supper, he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And so we do as Christ commands. We take this bread and this cup, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we become one with you. For this we give you thanks and praise, now and always. Amen. On the night that our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. My blood shed for you. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." I now invite you to open your little communion kits, remove the top layer for the wafer, and then the bottom layer for the juice, as we listen to some music. Let us pray. O Lord God, you have nourished us in body and soul here at this table, and now you send us off to proclaim the good news, to comfort the grieving, to heal the sick, and to bring your justice and peace to our world. This we pray, seeking your strength to do just that. Amen.